Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte. Hello, everyone. You are listening to the latest Flyers Talk podcast. I am Jordan Hall, and we are going to get into our latest three takeaways as the Flyers stretch drive really heats up here. Their path to the playoffs is certainly stiffening when you look at the stretch they're in with their schedule and their depth at a critical position really evaporating. But they're in a good spot. They're in third place of the Metropolitan Division, a spot they've held since the end of January. Hockey Reference gives them a little over a 70% chance to make the playoffs. They could grab that third place spot in the division that they've held, or they could have a chance at the second wild card spot. But we're going to get into it all here in our latest three takeaways. So this first takeaway I have is I think we're seeing just how effective the Sean Walker, Nick Seeler pair was for the Flyers. And for the Flyers, they lost that pair in one day. One day, it was 2 days before the trade deadline. They moved Sean Walker to the Avalanche. They got a first-round pick, conditional first-round pick in 2025 in that package for Walker. And then Nick Seeler, that same day, was placed on injured reserve, and he's been out since then. So that's quite a blow, and I think a blow we underestimated a little bit early on. At first, all the attention is on the Walker trade and getting a first-round pick and the future being supplemented. And you don't quite realize when you lose Walker and Seeler how much of a hole that created for the Flyers. And that was arguably their most effective defensive pair. Walker was so effective in the way he got the puck up ice. He was one of their better puck movers, was having a career year offensively. And then Seeler complemented him extremely well. A very defense-first defenseman who was able to let Walker play the way he does aggressively, offensively, and kind of hold the house down in the back end. And for as much as Seeler is pegged as this defensive defenseman, and he is, he's not extremely offensive minded. He's extremely mobile. He's very mobile. He moves well. So he was seldom beat in the defensive zone. He killed plays quickly and really made the Flyers just a better defensive team. That they didn't play a lot of defense, and when they did, they were very good at doing it with Walker and Seeler. And here the Flyers are now without both of them. Seeler, we don't know when he'll be back. He considered himself week to week, but among the three injured defensemen the Flyers have with Jamie Drysdale, Rasmus Ristolainen, and Seeler, I would think Seeler's going to be back the earliest of those three. But with the Flyers now, they have two defensive pairs that are made up of vets and kids. Eric Johnson and Mark Stahl, as accomplished as they are and established as they are, I think it's fair to say they are not in their primes anymore. I believe they would probably agree with that. And then they're playing alongside two kids, Ronnie Adder and Igor Zamula, 24 and 23. Adder is a rookie. Zamula's playing his first full season in the NHL. So the depth has just fallen off at that position, and they can't rely on those two pairs too often. You have to really watch the minutes of two kids and two guys that are past their primes, are still effective, but you need to kind of watch their minutes. So I think Seeler, whenever he gets back, should provide some really much-needed stability. I think he'll be able to spell a vet and some of those veteran minutes that these guys are playing. And I think he'll also be able to spell some of their young players and kind of balance out the minutes and kind of let everyone properly be and the chairs they're supposed to be in on the back end. So I think Sealer's going to be pivotal whenever he does return. But really, we are seeing what Walker and Sealer provided. They were much more important than I think we thought. Even I thought for sure. You see that trade and you think it's great that Danny Briere focused on the future, and it is. It was a very good future-centric trade and a good sign that they're not forgetting the future just for one playoff run. But without a doubt, they're taking a hit defensively. The Flyers have gone 2-2 since they lost Sealer and Walker. And in those two losses, they've given up a combined 13 goals. They've had a couple of blowout losses, which we haven't seen a whole lot of. But, I mean, when you take away your arguably your best defensive pair, most effective and consistent defensive pair, that stuff can happen. Celebrity cook Steve Martorano brings his Italian-American cooking back home to Philly. Enjoy Martorano's prime at Rivers Casino and Steve's famous meatballs with Sunday gravy, prime steaks, and more. Make reservations for Martorano's prime on Open Table. Early on, I mentioned this gauntlet of a stretch, and boy, it is really a make-or-break stretch for the Flyers when you look at this schedule. And it started on Thursday night, a 6-2 loss to the Maple Leafs. It's a seven-game stretch here where the Flyers are facing bona fide contenders. And now the final six games of the stretch feature two against the Boston Bruins, one against the Florida Panthers, one against the New York Rangers, one against the Carolina Hurricanes, and one more against the Toronto Maple Leafs. And this is just such a brutal stretch. And for the Flyers, I think they just need to focus on surviving the stretch. And Brad Shaw, their associate head coach, mentioned they really need to look at it one game at a time. And that might be a cliche, and it is. But for the Flyers, they've shown they can beat top teams, contending teams. They have 10 wins over top 10 teams in the league. So when they do focus one game at a time and try to reach their best game possible, play their best quality hockey, and really focus on who they are, they can beat top teams. So if they focus and kind of zero in on one game at a time and try to get to their best game in that game, they can survive this stretch. But there's no denying with the depth that they've, with the hit they've taken defensively in their depth, and then you get this schedule here, it becomes daunting without a doubt. And my point three here, my takeaway three, is that the losses to Tampa Bay and Toronto kind of has served as a reminder of the Flyers' process, that they very much are in a rebuild and they're going to face some adversity and they're going to maybe face some teams that are top-end contenders and they might not be able to stand up to those teams when they face some adversity here. When you look at the loss to Toronto, they had 11 players 25 or younger in their lineup. That's just a byproduct of the rebuild, a byproduct of injuries, the trade deadline, and very much they are a team in transition, playing a lot of younger players. And Brad Shaw had a good point, how Toronto has a team that's been through some trials and tribulations. They've had heartbreaking failure in the playoffs. They've been through some wars. And you can tell just by watching the game that they have guys that have been through this, that the pressure isn't too big right now this time of year. They have massive goals considering what they've been through in the playoffs. And the Flyers have a lot of players who either, one, have not played in the playoffs, or two, don't have a lot of playoff experience. If they have some, it's not a lot. And then really, three, a lot of players that are younger and are kind of tasting this for the first time. And Shaw mentioned that they kind of need to realize what it takes day in and day out, game in and game out, the effort it takes this time of year, that you can't have a night off. And I'm not really questioning the Flyers' effort. I think they come ready to play and they know the games are important, but sometimes the team they're playing has been through a little bit more. There's a little more wear and tear there. There's a little more understanding of what it takes in these games. I mean, a 7-0 loss to the Lightning, a team with rich pedigree, couple Stanley Cups, future Hall of Fame goalie, and then a Toronto team that has a superstar in Auston Matthews and really has been through the wars. So we've seen Samuel Erickson be pulled twice now in the last three games, And he's a part of that young core, you know, guys that haven't been here yet. It's very easy to forget he's a 24-year-old rookie who's kind of been thrust into number one duties here. And this is just the reality, is that he's going to face some lumps. I mean, I don't think anyone expected him to be perfect down the stretch. He probably spoiled a lot of people with how well he played in some big games. And I think he's got the mental fortitude to respond. He showed it against the Sharks after that 7-0 loss to the Lightning. But he very much is a rookie and very much a part of this young equation that we're going to see lumps. And I think it shows that the Flyers are maybe somewhat of a fringe playoff team. It's great that they've exceeded expectations, that no one thought they'd be here, but they're not quite a contending team yet. And you're going to see them hit some obstacles, especially just given what they're dealing with at the most critical position really in the game outside of goalie, and that's defense. And we've talked all year about their success was spearheaded by exceeding expectations defensively. Everyone on the back end was really exceeding expectations, but now they're missing that second pair. They've had Jamie Drysdale miss time, Rasmus Ristolainen. They're incorporating a new face in Erik Johnsson. So you're seeing them hit some hurdles here. And I think this is just the reality of the situation. If they are able to nail down a playoff berth, and I think they still have a decent chance to do it, no one can say they didn't earn it, because they're definitely facing some hardships here. And I think a lot of people will debate it, and it'll be a polarizing debate. If they miss the playoffs late in the season, is that a positive or is it a failure? And a lot of people will probably argue, and I think it's justified, that this is what they didn't want. They didn't want a team that's kind of middling in the pack and just barely missing the playoffs. You either want to be really bad and you get a high pick, or you either want to be a contender. I would disagree that I think it's a failure. I think if they're in it and they're playing meaningful games, I think it can be a real positive for some of their young players. I would have a problem with it if they had a lot of aging players and they weren't doing anything about it. But the fact is, they have a really good young core. I think players that, as I mentioned earlier, 25 or younger, that I think have a ton of upside. Players that I think are good players now and can get better. And I really think this stretch run is going to make them better, whether they make the playoffs or not. But I think they have a good shot to make it. But without a doubt, this is a make or break stretch. If they can survive this stretch, take a game maybe from Boston out of the two, perhaps take a game from Toronto. They don't even have to win those season series. I think if they just go 1-2 against both those teams and try to steal one maybe from New York or Carolina, they already won the season series with Florida, which is a real positive and surprising positive. I think they can survive this stretch and sneak into the playoffs and see what they can do with it and get some valuable experience. But the Flyers are facing adversity, and I think it's good for their young players. Failure is not a terrible thing, I think, throughout this process. They're going to face it, and they're facing it right now. We'll see how they respond to it. But big, big games ahead. The Flyers have 15 games left in this playoff push, surprising playoff push. We'll see how they handle it, and we'll have it all covered here on the Flyers Talk Podcast. Thank you so much for listening to my latest three takeaways. I'm Jordan Hall. I want to give a big thank you to Ben Berry, my podcast producer and guru, always there for me, always flexible with my time. And a big thank you to Flyers fans for listening to the latest Flyers Talk Podcast. Wherever you get your podcast, please rate and listen, and we cannot wait to talk to you next time.